This is the Recency Bias. Little late, but here, I like game one. Zach Klinas along with you here on this episode, following up game three between the Flyers and the Habs, one of the Canadians lost by a 1-0 score. Boring, not quite, but certainly a low event game. First off, the Flyers deserve credit. The Flyers, I think, had a game plan that they executed perfectly. Did it make for exciting hockey? No, not at all. Not in the least. But what they wanted to do, and you saw it especially in the third period, they wanted to clog it all up, especially the neutral zone, but really everywhere. They saw what the Habs did to them in game two as the Habs were flying, taking advantage of Philadelphia at every corner, first on the puck all the time, generally easing through the neutral zone for the most part. And that wasn't the script at all in game three. It was a completely different story. Philly decided, you know what, along the boards, we're just going to lean into you. Through the neutral zone, you're going to meet five of us, and you're not going to get anything going. And Montreal did not get anything going. Now, neither did the Flyers, but they got the one goal that they needed. They put, you know, they see themselves as the better team. I think rightfully so. They're the ones that are the first seed. We are the eighth seed and lucky to be here. And they just clogged it all up. I mean, you saw it from the early going. Anytime the puck would be along the boards, Philly was there, and they weren't hitting. It wasn't like they were bringing the body in a truculent sort of way like Brian Burke would want. It was just clogging it up, just leaning on the Habs, literally leaning on them, not letting them go, not quite interference, though a few times. And this is, you know, the show's called The Bias for a reason. I'm sure I've got plenty of bias going in with it. I thought you could have called a couple just... Was it interference? Maybe not. Was it holding? Not quite, but it was borderline on both of those things, and it didn't get called. The Habs did have some power play opportunities, didn't do much with that either. Obviously, they didn't score. And so that's what you got. You got a 1-0 game. Only goal coming in the first period, 5:21 into the game. After that, Philly was really able to just clog it up, and they let Carter Hart do it the rest of the way. And he was good. He wasn't unbeatable. I guess technically he was unbeatable since the Canadians didn't beat him. But they did beat him several times. Ping, ping, ping. That was the game, man. How many bars did the Habs hit? How many bars did Kotkaniemi hit in the game? So they were able to beat Hart a few times. They just couldn't quite beat him completely. If it was a role reversal and they pinged it that many times against Carey Price, I'd be saying... Well, he's got the angles right, and you know what? I'll give Hart that much. He might have the angles perfectly played. He's been very good. He's playing up to his idol, who, once again, by the way, incredible game from Carey Price, .950 save percentage on the night. Only had to make 19 saves. As I said, there wasn't a lot of action in this one at all. And yeah, as far as a playoff game, I guess it can't be boring because it's a playoff game, but it can certainly be not that exciting. And this one wasn't. It just wasn't. Did you feel that the Canadians were likely going to tie it up? I didn't think so. I didn't see that coming. Andrew Berkshire tweeted out, and it's worth noting here, that midway through the game, when it was 5v5, which there wasn't a lot of, because there were a lot of penalties in this one, and particularly called against Montreal, or a good deal. But when it was, the rare moments it was 5v5 and not 4-on-4 or somebody on a power play, scoring chances on net were 3-3. That's 40 minutes, not midway through the game. Pardon me, that was 40 minutes, two periods of hockey. There were three scoring chances on either side. It wasn't much, but it was the Flyers' plan, and the Canadians are going to have to figure out a way to find a goal, because I imagine Philly's going to do that again. You can't really blame them. They have the more potent offense, which managed to find them one goal in the game, and it was the first goal, which I think was obviously crucial for them. They know Carter Hart is going to be there for them as long as they play right in front of him. And so they're going to take that gamble, especially now that they're up 2-1. So what do you do now, Kirk Muller and company, to figure out how you move past what is going to be a clogging of the neutral zone? Game four, it's going to be important to try and score first, but I mean, that's an old cliche as far as hockey goes. So we'll see. Six power plays the Canadians had, rather the Flyers had. They didn't score. The Canadians did a very good job on the PK. I know Chris Lee was the ref. I got on Chris Lee a little bit in this game because it did feel that the penalties were a little bit being called a little bit more against the Habs than they were the Flyers, and I think they were. I think there was at least one real soft call in the leg going. I think overall, you could have let a couple things maybe go if you weren't going to call them against Philadelphia. I don't think it was a perfectly ref game, but I don't think the Habs definitely lost this one because of the referees. I think it's because Philadelphia got to lay down their game plan and stuck to it, and it worked out. And that's what we wind up with. Once again, the Habs' two best players outside of Carey Price, the Habs' two best skaters, at least, were Kotkaniemi and Suzuki. And as my co-host on the Big Pod, Sean O'Neill, tweeted on Sunday evening, Suzuki, favorite player, favorite Hab since PK Subban. I think I agree with him on that. I haven't been as excited about a player. I was more excited about Subban when he was coming up because he played for Team Canada and we got to see the makings of, and Subban certainly has a big character, so you had some impression of who he was. We were all very excited. But Suzuki, now that he's here, and now that in this playoffs, he's in another level, beyond thrilled for this guy. And I know I've talked about him pretty much on every podcast that we've done since hockey returned in its bubble-fied version. But another incredible night from him. He just does things so well. It's unbelievable that he and Kotkaniemi are as young as they are. In a way, you don't want your 20 and 21-year-old to be your best players. That's probably not how you find success in the immediate future. That's maybe not how you even win this round. But for all that we were talking about, you know, with the desire to get Lafreniere and to lose in that playing round for an opportunity at that, and as you've seen plenty of writers, especially Arpin Basu, writing about, you know, the fact that making it this far hurts the draft considerably, although only the first round, I believe, is how that plays out. Starting to think this is kind of worth it, and not for the same talking points that we've heard a lot so far, which is, oh, it's good for these kids to get experience, which it is. It is good for these kids to get experience. Obviously, this is hugely valuable for Kotkaniemi and Suzuki, as well as the other young players on the team. But from a fan standpoint, from my standpoint, personally, just sitting at home watching, you know, for what could have been sacrificed, what has been sacrificed in going further than we probably have any right to be doing at this point, I'm more excited about the Habs' future than I was 4 months ago when we took the break, certainly more than I was 2 years ago. If Kotkaniemi and Suzuki are who they look like they could be, if this isn't them playing above their heads, if they grow into, heck, if they stay this good, you're probably in a great spot. These are two great players down the middle that you got your hands on right now. Really, really excited for the future with these two guys in the mix. And we just want, you know, that's who I'm watching every game. As soon as they're on the ice, that's all I want to watch is Kotkaniemi and Suzuki and see what they do. And in game three, despite the loss, you know, as Sean pointed to the comparison to PK Subban, I think there's something there in that I don't remember being like just looking for when a guy got on the ice like that since Kovalev or Subban, where you're just like, okay, those guys are out there, now's our chance, giddy up, let's go. Another guy who is like that is Brendan Gallagher, who has somehow not found the back of the net at all in the play-ins or the playoffs so far. He's got, I believe he leads the entire playoffs, including the bullshit play-in round, in high-danger shot attempts at 5-on-5. He's got 16 of those, which is ridiculous. He ranks first amongst all NHLers in the playoffs in shots on goal. I think he has 31 after the Sunday night game. So Gallagher's getting his shots and getting his chances. That said, maybe I'm missing it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tweet at me at @ZachDropsTweets or at the Montreal Bias and let me know. He hasn't been where he normally is. I haven't seen like, oh, there's the Gallagher spot. I know that the numbers indicate he's been getting his shots and you're seeing them. Gallagher's certainly getting his opportunities. He's had some bad luck. There is something that's not quite there compared to the Gallagher I feel like we're used to watching. Maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I am. I don't mind. But they're down 2-1 now. They are down 2-1 in the series. They have played with the Flyers in all three games. They whooped the shit out of them in game two. I thought they skated with them decently in game one, and as we talked about on that last podcast, that wasn't enough until you saw them beat them in game two. Then you say, okay. And I thought they were evenly matched. I don't think Philly was the better team. I don't think Montreal was the better team in game three. It was a 1-0 game and a very evenly matched one. Not very many shots at all by either side. Nobody really took over the thing. The final shots were 23-20. I mean, that's so few shots. The only period in which either team got double-digit shots was in the third. The Habs actually would put 10 on Hart, especially in those final 10 minutes when Philadelphia, even when they were on the power play, had no interest at all, in trying to score on Carey Price. That was not their MO, and it worked. They held on. I mean, we've seen, as Habs fans, well, who was it? It was Michel Therrien in charge of that portion of the game, because it certainly felt like it. You know, we're not going to push. We're going to clog up the zone. We're not going to let you get anything. We're going to depend on our elite goaltender to carry us through this thing. And it worked. And we've seen the Habs do it 10 years ago with Yaroslav Halak. Although the Halak thing, I think you could probably make the comparison with what's going on in the Dallas-Calgary series better than you could in the Montreal one. So we find ourselves down and needing the next win. I think that's a pretty safe thing to say. They need to find a way to win on Tuesday afternoon, 3:00 start for that one. I know, not a Friday. You can find a way to like get it going for 3:00, maybe a little bit. Tuesday a little harder to do, though. Many of us are working from home, so I hope you can at least put it on, even if you can't be completely engaged in it. But the Canadians need to win that one. Probably need to get on the board first. Find a way to do that. And Brendan Gallagher's due, right? I think this is going to be a big game for Gallagher. Game four of this series, we shall see. I mentioned to my parents and a couple friends via text message when the game started, I didn't think Carey Price looked his best. There was the most exciting flurry of activity in the game came in those first 5 minutes, but right before Philadelphia scored, they had a couple opportunities where Price just looked like he wasn't set right. His balance was off, and he couldn't quite find himself. He was fine, you know, from midway through the first, probably at least the second period on, he was back to his normal self, playing the puck aggressively, even more so aggressively than by his own standards, even if Kelly Rudy doesn't think he's been playing the puck much in recent years. I'm watching a lot. Carey still plays the puck plenty. Maybe not as aggressively as he did when he was young, but he certainly plays the puck a lot. But he's been very, very aggressive in this series, and it helps. It helps so much. I mean, you saw it on one of the power plays. I think it was one of the late power plays in the third period. He was out there just kind of mano-a-mano with one of the four checkers from the Flyers, and he played the puck out and really set the Habs in the other direction again. So he looked locked in from that point on. I thought he looked a little bit off to start, and maybe that's how that first goal got by him, but he returned to his form. He allowed one goal in the whole damn game, for crying out loud. Not worried about Carey Price. It's just going to be really about the plan at this point. How do you counter what Philadelphia is going to do? Because they know if it becomes a foot race, and it seems like even just a battle of intensity, that Montreal might be able to come out on top in this thing. But if the Flyers can clog it all up, can really slow this series down, can muddy the thing, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to get some lucky goals. You're going to have to get some dirty goals, clearly, because you're not seeing a lot of room. Or, you know, Kotkaniemi and Suzuki are going to have to stop pinging the thing. And we're talking about 3 or 4 millimeters, boys. Just move it a little bit. And the Habs are up 2-1 in this series. It was there to win, and they didn't quite. So now they've got to go out and make sure that they get that done on Tuesday afternoon. At which point, I do enjoy the 3:00 game because I can do a recency bias right after. That part's fun, rather than having to wait. And even this one coming at you a little late due to work getting busy. Couldn't get ahead of it this morning, but glad to sit down mid-afternoon. You'll have this on your Monday afternoon evening and before the game on Tuesday to give it a listen. Again, you can find me on Twitter at ZachDropsTweets, at the Montreal Bias as well. Of course, make sure to follow at RabbitHabs. That's where our man Ian Boisvert, one of the co-hosts of the Nosebleeds podcast, along with Trevor and Kristen, he does his breakdowns of the game in there. some postgame. Wasn't any postgame last night from him, so just me on rabbithabs.com for this one. But make sure that's a good follow during the game. I like to steal notes from that and bring them to this podcast. All right, I just hosted a four-hour workshop before I did this podcast this morning, so I'm losing my voice. That's a good time to call it. Game 4, going to be a big one. We'll talk to you after that. Till then, take care.